opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the host and are not representative of their employers, spouses, or associates. If you haven't gathered from the title, the language used on the show is akin to that of a high school boys' locker room. Listener discretion is advised.
The advice given in this podcast is worth what you pay for it, which is nothing.
Well, hello and welcome everybody to another fun-filled episode of F'd Up Farming. I'm your host, Tyler Martin. And across from me in the crow's nest.
Hello everybody, I'm Royce.
We got the kendo.
Glad to be here, everybody.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Exactly. This is coming out, or this is
being recorded on St. Patrick's Day. Probably not coming out on St. Patrick's Day. Probably going to come out, let's say, the Thursday after St. Patrick's.
I can see that happening. So, you want to introduce our special guest tonight,
Tyler?
I'll
let you go ahead.
All right, we got Jared Kesey, the Texas Beverage and Package Store, back in the studio. Here in a little bit, he's got something special he brought for us to taste tonight. So, we're going to give it a try. You want to say hi, Jared?
Hey, everybody. Good to be back. It's been a while.
Too long.
Glad to be here. Way too long. Gosh, over a year, you know?
It has.
It has. Like Christmas before last was the last one that I was able to do.
Yeah, because we were trying to do one this Christmas, and we just could not get it together.
No, it was tough.
Yeah.
It's been a busy few months, so.
It has.
I'm glad we could make it out today.
Look forward to hearing everything you've been up to.
Yeah.
All right, let's roll through sponsors. Let's start off with Cliffs Farms up there in Martinsburg, Saskatchewan.
Y'all need to go buy some calves. I mean, Curtis is almost done renovating that house. I'm sure he's got bills coming due. Y'all need to go buy some attention, sons, daughters, granddaughters,
whatever
grandsons.
He's got for sale. Just
I don't even
up.
Know. I guess the semen's gone still, but whatever. Go help him out.
You know, either the attention bull, or he had one of them posted on either Facebook or
what was
Snapchat.
A son of attention, I think.
Pretty decent looking calf.
Maybe
pretty
a grandson. I don't know. Don't forget that bull was 6 years old before they started collecting him. So, I mean, that could be like a great grandson.
It could be. Everything all right?
You got like a parade going down the road over there.
Really?
Yeah, it's like the third car that's drove by.
Not my parade. Unless my wife left and then.
I think she would have gone the other way. Also, we've got Mo Cattle Company. I would tell you to go buy something, but they're kind of low on inventory right now. A couple of really nice open heifers.
You could buy something for the future. We do have three heifers on the ground.
We have a layaway program.
We do.
Pay now, take later.
Exactly. We'll send them to you in September.
And if you pay for them, then you decide you don't want them, that's no big deal. We'll just keep your money and sell them to somebody else.
Perfect. You don't have to take delivery. We will take the payment, though.
That's why they call it a deposit, Royce. Yes. Non-refundable.
Speaking of Mo Cattle, I would like to give a shout-out to the Wildorada FFA program and the bull sale that they put on.
That would be the Wildorada Cattle Company.
Wildorada Cattle Company, excuse me. Run by the FFA kids. Super great program. Awesome sale.
Yeah.
So, I just wanted to give them a shout-out while we were thinking about it.
I hope they're not listening, but
I hope they're not. But anybody else that's listening, if you next year, this time next year, you need some bulls, and we don't have what you need, go look up the Wildorada Cattle Company bull sale.
No doubt,
they also have some females for sale too.
Whole bunch of them.
So, and then next we have Meat Club Lambs, best people, best sheep in the business.
Sheep's not on the cheap, Gageby, Texas.
And next we have Texas Beverage and Package in Groome, Texas. Also in Amarillo, Texas.
Oh, you didn't fuck it up this time.
I didn't.
I'm proud of you.
I did it.
We're growing. I figured the pressure was going to make it worse than normal.
I was surprised. I'm sweating it.
Go check them out. Lots of good deals. You got any specials, things to talk about? New stuff?
Well, we have an event going on next Friday on the 22nd with Cask and Cork. Eddie from Cask and Cork, who runs the wine program at Cask and Cork, will be in our store with the same lineup of wine that they're doing at their wine dinner that night at Cask and Cork. So it's going to be kind of a drink it there, buy it here thing for us. And he will be there to educate people on those wines. And there's probably going to be some hors d'oeuvres and just a good time. So I'd go in there.
Sounds cool.
The 22nd, 5 to 8.
That'll be at the Amarillo store?
That'll be at the Amarillo store, yes, sir.
Okay.
Awesome. Cask and Cork's got some good food, too.
They do.
Pretty solid.
Yeah.
So they do.
Great apps. I normally go in there for apps and drinks.
Oh, their apps are awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Been a while since I did that, but...
Yeah, and they got a hell of a lineup of whiskeys and tequilas. And
that's why I was going in there so often, because they made a great old-fashioned, and they had a lot of really good whiskeys. Yeah,
that sounds delightful.
They still do. I mean, it's awesome in there.
Yeah.
And last but not least, Tyler?
Ballard Guns.
White Deer, Texas.
They might also have drinks and hors d'oeuvres. Probably lower-class hors d'oeuvres. And cheaper drinks.
Probably.
To accommodate their cheap guns.
Usually, I've got Coors Light when you go in there. Nothing wrong with that.
I wasn't going to name drop anything, but
hey,
you feel comfortable.
Apparently. All right. So that gets us through our sponsors. Thanks to all of our wonderful sponsors, especially the one that is here in studio with us. And that gets us to our Texas beverage and package booze review. You want to talk about this, Jared?
Sure. So tonight we have our Angel's Envy barrel pick. We picked this about 3 months ago. It's 110 proof. We've got bottle number 129 out of barrel SB230745. Let's get this bad boy open and try it. Here you go if you just want to trade me.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Get lots of sweet.
Getting sweet and oak.
Yeah. Get a little oak off of it.
Yeah, it is sweet.
It's a good sweet.
It is a good sweet.
Kind of a...
It's sweet with like different levels of sweet throughout the drink, almost. Like,
yeah, because you know it starts out with kind of like a grassy, kind of natural sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then it goes just a little bit like more developed, richer.
Yeah.
Like caramely.
It's kind of got like a pecan pie kind of.
Yeah.
I'd buy that.
I'm getting a little bit of spice like you'd get with a pie. And I could be convinced that's pecan in there. That is, that's nice. That does not drink like it's 110 proof.
Well, that's very smooth.
I like that you can still tell that it's 110 proof, though. Like, it's still got a little bit of that,
it does.
That bite to it. You know, just enough to kind of keep you
yeah.
keep aware.
You yeah, for me, it kind of burns on the tongue a little bit, but mm-hmm. not in the throat.
No, not even a little bit.
Maybe a little leather on the nose on it.
I'm wondering if the sweet and because like I keep getting like dessert tones out of it, like it's almost like a dessert drink, and I bet that has to do with the port wine barrel that they're aged in. You know, because port's yeah. really, really sweet and thick, and like, I bet that has something to do with it.
I like that. I mean, it's got a good mouth texture to it. It's thick. I mean, that's good. Another excellent pick, Jared.
It is very good. And the secret to this one is I had nothing to do with this pick. I was in Las Vegas when they came by to do this pick, and Lito Cigarroa are store manager there in Amarillo picked this by himself. He did a great job.
I'd say he did an awesome job on that one.
He did. He did a wonderful job with it, and he stepped up on that because that's a great, great bottle.
You know, you put just a drop of water in that, and it kind of opens up a little bit of like the oaky kind of bitterness. Not really the bitterness, but like that char, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, you get a lot of flavors with that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of flavors. Good flavors.
Yeah.
And, a little more caramel. I just put a couple of drops in it, and it just...
Yeah, I got... That brought out a little more caramel. It, like, defines the sweet a little bit more.
Yeah.
With that. That is...
It's almost like it makes it... It, like, tones down the sweet enough mm-hmm. to where it's mm-hmm. you pick up all the other flavors. No, that's a good one. That's a solid pick.
I like it a lot.
$85.99 at both Texas beverage locations.
And that is a steal for that high proof of Angel's Envy.
It really is. That's a great one. You get the dog tags with it. And
it's a cool bottle.
It is. It is. We got a bunch of those. We got a bunch of our New Riff Barrel Pick. So,
which was also very good.
The New Riff Barrel Pick was really good.
And we're not saying that just because he's a sponsor. I mean, everything he has picked so far, we have found excellent.
We've dogged on some bourbons we got from you.
You have, but not on any of them that we picked.
No, not on the
precisely,
picks.
But
store picks. You have not dogged on any of those.
Well, you find us one that we can dog on.
Let's just keep picking them like that. And we won't. All right, so what are we going to rate that? You want to go first, Jared? You're our guest.
I'm going to say... It's a 1 through 10 rating again, right?
Yes,
I forgot.
Sir.
It's been so
10.
Long. Okay. I'm going to say 8.5.
Awesome.
I was going to go flat 8 on that.
I was right there with Jared. I was an 8.5. Because that is delightful.
So very tasty.
I bet that'd make a killer old fashioned.
That would make an excellent old fashioned.
Old faction? Is old that what fashion? You just said?
I almost said old faction. I said old fashioned. That.
We should do an average of every barrel pick that you guys have from us. I think starting with our Doc Swenson's was our first one that we did, I think. Which I think was a pretty high score.
We rated it pretty high. I think it was over. Yeah, it was 8.25.
You know, it's funny. Every time I go to buy another one of those, your daughter talks shit. She's like, you really like this, don't you? I'm like, yeah, it's fucking good. Get off my ass.
She doesn't like
delightful.
She doesn't like whiskey.
In her defense, though, I did go in there like 3 times. I think it was like right before Christmas because I bought myself one. And then I bought 2 for presents. So she's like, wow, man. I think that was her way of saying maybe you want to pump the brakes on this.
I'm sure she'll come to me eventually and be like, hey, you know, Tyler's been getting a lot of stuff.
Like, maybe it's time he went to see somebody.
She's done that to me before with other people, so I wouldn't put it. There's been several times where she's like, hey, you know, shouldn't we feel bad about this? Or maybe we should say no. And I'm like, no, you want a job?
So you don't have to worry about Jared sending you to read.
There we go.
No.
She's going to tell her to shut up and mind her business.
I don't like quitters.
Oh,
man.
Yeah, we'll get him to slow down. Pitch him on the high price stuff.
Here, he's without a job. He ain't going to stay there long.
That's funny.
Oh, well, awesome pick. Thank you for bringing that for us.
You bet. Glad that I could have it over.
So you said you did not pick this one yourself. You let your manager do it?
My manager picked this one. He did an awesome job with this one. The pressure was on. This was a very expensive pick, and he really stepped up and did good, because there was other options that were not as flavorful and as tasty as this one was. So
okay.
He did a good job.
Well, did they give you 3 to try?
I believe they gave us four or six. It was more than three,
okay,
and less than eight. So I'm thinking it was probably about six because it's usually an even number. So,
okay.
And that one, like, you know, you get your choice to either go to the distillery and pick it, or they'll send you samples. Either way, the experience is pretty much the same. The master distiller pulls barrels for you to try. They will pull the maximum amount, which is, like I said, either four or six, and you pick from the ones that they pick. So this is just, they send 200 milliliter samples from the barrels, okay, and you pick them yourself. It's kind of cool. You get some merch with them and stuff like that. And it was good. He really stepped up and picked a good one.
Yeah.
So whenever you decide you're going to do this, because obviously you're probably not the only person in the country that's trying to do a barrel pick at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever he pulls those six barrels,
uh-huh,
does he hold those until you answer back?
Or? Yes. There's a deadline placed on your answer. And, if you don't have it back by that time, then you are lose your place.
Okay.
So,
yeah. I was just curious about that.
Yeah.
Because that's, you know, you pick one. You're like,
yeah.
30 minutes too late.
No.
3 minutes too late. I don't know what to tell you.
They do. Well, so they only do like a specific number of them for the state.
Right.
So, like, there might be 6 to 8 guys who get to pick an Angel's Envy barrel for the entire state.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then on some of those brands, it's even less than that. Some of them, it's 4 barrels. Some of it's 2 barrels for the whole state. So if you get the opportunity, you pretty much take the opportunity because it might not come back around.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so that we have had barrel picks in the past that were more smaller names. Great product, but smaller names. Angel's Envy was, up to this point, the biggest name that we had ever been offered. So even though it was expensive and it was a lot of bottles, we felt like we had to take it, being a new store.
Oh, yeah.
And getting the opportunity, we thought, you know, we can't miss on this one. So we took this one, and I think our next big one that's coming out is the 1792 Full Proof. So, yeah, that's going to be a good one.
Going to have to go after that one, too. I also love that 1792.
1792 is great, and this one is
fantastic bourbon.
We have got a full barrel of that coming, and I would guess that it's probably gone in 3 days. Like, I think it'll move that quick, so.
I would buy that. I'm on a few local bourbon groups on Facebook.
And yeah.
People are constantly scrambling, looking for any 1792.
Yes, 1792 is... it's really good. Another one of those, like Angel's Envy, that's a big deal that we got to get one. And
yeah,
that is cool. So how are you getting so many barrel picks?
Well, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. We kind of don't let a week go by without saying, hey, what's available for us to pick barrel-wise? So we already know that we're picking Knob Creek and Maker's Mark, and we are going to go to those. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
We're going to go to those as a trip.
If you need help,
y'all know that's fine with me. Maker's Mark is cool because they put all theirs underground in these caves that they built,
yeah,
like, kind of like champagne caves. I'm excited to go see those. And then in June, we're going to go to Nevada and pick a Frey Ranch barrel. So, you know, our little store in Amarillo, believe it or not, has sold more Frey Ranch product than any other store in the state since we opened.
Wow.
I believe it.
We've gone through a barrel and a half worth of Frey Ranch product out of that store in Amarillo, which is more than anybody else in the state.
It's a good product. I picked up a bottle a couple weeks ago, and it's
really good.
We need to review that on the podcast sometime.
Did you pick the straight bourbon or the farm strength?
The straight bourbon, just straight? The 90 proof.
Okay,
I think
yeah.
That's all you had at the groom store that day.
I need to bring you a one of the farm strength. The farm strength is amazing.
We got to try that, I think, at the Amarillo store.
I bet you did.
I thought that they let us taste it, but they didn't have any. They still had a little
that
bit
is
of
what
that,
it was.
That sample
yeah.
bottle.
Yeah.
But they didn't, because I was trying to buy one.
Yeah.
And she said, well, let's taste it. And I'm like, well, I don't know if I really want to taste it.
If I can't buy it.
Well, we have more of it now.
Okay.
Like I say, I think we've gone through like almost 60 cases of Frey Ranch.
Wow.
Yeah.
Across the board since that, they didn't even do their, like we had already gone through 22 cases of the farm strength before their official launch in Texas. So the distributor had it in stock and let us go ahead and buy it, but they didn't officially launch it until 2 weeks after we had the product. And we had already been killing it. Like, it was good. So
yeah, solid bourbon. Yeah,
I'm excited. It'll be cool to come and talk to y'all after we go, considering their grain to glass operation. And
yeah,
you know, I think we're gonna take a farmer with us, and he's gonna get to pick with us and stuff. And
so that'd be cool.
It'll be interesting to see how that goes. Everything's grown on the ranch, distilled on the ranch, and ricked on the ranch. So it's all product of the ranch. They're not sourcing anything from anybody else.
Awesome. That's neat.
I'm excited about that one. And their stuff looks really cool, and it's easy to sell. So that's you know, great for me.
Yeah, solid product.
Kind of a no-brainer on that one.
No-brainer. Definitely ticks all the boxes, especially for what gets people going around here. You know?
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Well, cool deal. You want to go ahead and kill the day?
We sure can.
Then we can talk a little more booze. Jared, what are you bringing tonight?
Cody Johnson's Dirt Cheap.
Okay. Body's buried. Lasted 13 hunting seasons running strong. Keep your money, cause a man can't leave his dog. And over there's where I got down on one knee. You can't buy that kind of dirt cheap. One man smiled and he kind of looked away. The other said, before we go, I gotta know one thing. Between the droughts and the flood.
I mean, that's fine.
Yeah.
It's a horrible problem, man.
It's terrible.
All these people throwing booze at us.
No,
take this for free. Take that for free.
Well, come get this. I got another barrel pick. Go try it out. All right, Jared. I mean, if you're going to
twist my arm. So that's a good song.
Yeah. A little cheesy, but it's a good song.
It's a little cheesy. It's Cody Johnson, so of course it's going to be a little cheesy.
Got to take those boxes.
You can't demand that high a price and not be a little cheesy.
That's fair. It is fair.
That's all I'm saying. Well, I'll go next. I've got I'm Trying to Break Your Heart by Wilco. I am an American aquarium drinker. I assassin down the avenue. I'm hiding out in the big city.
So that's a different song.
It's Wilco, man. Of course it's going to be a little weird. That's why I like it.
I didn't say it was bad. I just said it was different. I think even by their standards, that was a little different.
No, that's like mid-range weirdness.
I feel better about my Cody Johnson song now.
Hey, there is no cheese to Wilco.
There is not. They may be some space cadets, but that's fair.
They try new things.
Maybe some day trip into that one. I don't know.
It was the early 90s, y'all. What if weird shit was happening?
Released?
I want to say it was like 93, 97.
I forget how old of a band Wilco is. Was? Is?
It is, I guess. I think would be the proper word.
Yeah. I didn't know if they were still playing or not.
Yeah, I think they turned out a new album like last year.
We talked about it the other day, but I couldn't remember what we figured out.
Is that Wilco?
I think it's Wilco we were talking about.
I was thinking of somebody else. No, we were talking about the more country. Shit.
Lanco.
It'll come to me later.
Okay.
But anyway, speaking of old songs, Royce, tell us what brand new hit you're going to play.
I feel like Spotify was really forcing my hand on this one because they played a lot of Cooter Gras songs on our trip to Kansas today.
Oh, so nice.
My Give a Damn is Broken by Cooter Gras.
It's nice.
Hey, Ray, you see my woman?
No, Matt, what's she look like?
Looks like she's gone.
Damn.
I left the leaving up to her. She left me right away. A way that I have never seen, at least not until today. But 2 days ago, she ran up my walk and knocked upon my door. I screamed the knock and fastened my lock, pretended I didn't know.
Man, I hadn't heard that song in forever.
I don't remember the last time I heard a Cooter Graw song before, like, today.
Let's just say today, Tyler. You were in the truck with me all day.
Well, most of the day.
Dodge commercials circa 2002, sometime in there.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they used to be on Dodge commercials.
I didn't think about that, but yeah, they were.
So, I know the last time I saw... No, that wasn't Cooter Graw.
Was it? Y'all should get Matt Martindale to come on the program here. Have a little chit-chat.
I've heard good things about that guy. I don't think I've ever really talked to him, though.
So I used to go to Tuesday night at the Golden Light, where he would do an acoustic set every Tuesday night.
Yeah.
And that was awesome. And I
bet it was.
I have a great photo of him doing an acoustic set with Mike McClure from Great Divide, Jason Boland, and Cody Canada. And it's a panoramic black and white photograph. And they all signed it. It was awesome.
Oh, that is cool.
It was cool. And that night, like, you know, they closed down at 2 o'clock and everybody had to leave. But if you were a regular or you worked there, you got to hang out, and they just locked the door and they just played until like 4 a.m. It was so cool. Yeah. It was great. We used to do it every Tuesday night. It was a lot of fun.
Golden Light. There are lots of good times happened at Golden Light over the years.
Wonderful place for me back in the day, which that was the spot.
That was
all went to shit right there about 2010.
Yeah.
They banned the shot walk.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, by 2010, I had been married for 2 years, so I had not gone and done anything like that.
I was still in college.
Were you?
Yeah. No, and so, you know, that was about the time they started doing full bar in there and not just beer.
I think they changed ownership.
They might have, but what I do know is that whenever we organized like 20 people to go on a shot walk down the street, they were not fucking happy.
Yeah.
Because even the guy at the door was like, you know, we sell booze now, right? I'm like, I don't care.
Nostalgia.
I'm going to the spoke. I don't know what the fuck to tell you.
We used to go there and like work the door for a cheeseburger and fries. So
like, there you go.
Be like, hey, can you work the door for 2.5 hours and we'll give you a cheeseburger and fries and beer? And it's like, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Like, no problem at all.
You want me to just sit here and drink beer and listen? I think I can.
Take everybody's money? That's great, you know.
I am game.
Yeah, that would be cool. I mean, he's a judge in Amarillo now, right? Or is it Amarillo or Pampa?
Is he a judge?
He is a judge, I believe so.
I know he's a lawyer. I didn't think he was a judge.
I know he used to be the DA.
He ran for an elected position, and I could have swore it was judge. I'm going to Google while I'm talking to fill the airspace, but I'm pretty sure he did.
Oh, maybe he did. I don't think it's Pampa because...
Randall County Judge. No. Okay. No.
No.
Matt Martindale for Randall County Court at Law Number 2.
Yeah, he's running for judge.
He is running for judge.
Running or ran?
I don't know.
Let's talk with Judge Matt Martindale, News Channel 10, April 13th, 2021.
Sure enough.
Well, his dad, Gene, was a lawyer in Pampa.
Yeah, I knew he was from Pampa.
He did a cool acoustic night with his dad. His dad's an amazing guitar player. And they came up to Golden Light together. And Matt Martindale was talking about this Martin guitar that his dad got him like when he was young. And he took it to college and fell asleep with it in his lap. And he stood up and he stepped in the middle of it and, you know, crushed it when he got to college. Mm.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. But they did a really cool acoustic set together. He'd be cool to be on the show.
He would be cool.
He was cool back then and was easy to talk to and accessible.
I mean, he's a politician now.
He is that.
It's got to come.
There's consequences.
We're not exactly constituents, but
we've I'm sure there's some of them that listen.
Nobody with anything to lose wants to be around you guys at all.
Wow.
I think we just got called a liability.
It's a glowing endorsement from our top sponsor.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah, I mean, if anybody knows him, send him the invite. He's always welcome.
Maybe I'll just tag him on the episode.
Well, there you go.
We'll just keep tagging him in random ass shit until he reaches out. It's like, what the fuck is going on with you guys?
Oh, we want you to be on our podcast.
So you thought bullying a judge was the way to go about that?
No, I know you've probably never heard of us. Probably don't want to, but hey, you want to come do a totally bullshit interview?
Literally tens of people will listen to it.
Oh, man.
We will most likely not get you unelected.
I don't think he'd get recalled just for coming on the show.
Impeached.
Maybe not reelected, but I don't think he'd get recalled.
Maybe just frowned upon.
I think it'd be fine.
I bet it'd be okay.
It's the worst that happens. Okay, so since the last time that you were here, you opened the store in Amarillo.
Opened the store in Amarillo.
That appears to be thriving.
It is doing really, really well. I cannot complain about the store in Amarillo. That was a great thing for us, and I'm glad that that has worked out up to this point. So, yeah, that's been good. Hopefully, we'll be opening at least two more of those in Amarillo over the next 2 to 3 years. And
awesome.
You know, our goal is to get to 10, and we've got two right now. So we're running kind of slow. You know.
Slow and steady wins the race.
Slow and steady wins the race. So that's our big plan, is to have, you know, kind of have a footprint in Amarillo and in the surrounding towns.
Well, that'll be good. So
yeah, I'm excited about it.
The only complaint that me and Royce have had about the Amarillo store is that they tend to get some better shit than what we get there in Grimm.
They do get more stuff than what we get there in Grimm, and it's kind of that politics thing that we talked about. Technically, Grimm and the Amarillo store are one store, right? And so the distributors should treat them as, oh, hey, we're sending this good thing to the store in Amarillo. We need to send some more of that good thing to the store in Grimm. But they don't usually do that, and they leave that up to us. Well, it's illegal for me to transport from Amarillo to Grimm. It has to be shipped via distributor to Grimm, so we're not always on top of that, so the store does get a little bit better stuff than what Grimm gets. Or not better stuff, but more quantity of those things. So if we get a case of Weller in Amarillo, we may get 3 bottles in Grimm, that kind of thing. So we still get great stuff over there. Everybody still needs to go to Grimm.
They do still have a fantastic selection.
We do. We have not changed the selection at all. We moved a bunch of stuff around recently, which made us realize that we needed more product to fill up more space. Once we kind of cleaned up and sort of did some spring cleaning. So we are bringing in more product. We brought in the Angel's Envy barrel pick. We have the New Riff barrel pick there also. We'll probably have some Cream of Kentucky 7.5-year bottled and bond rye there.
I've heard that is phenomenal.
Within the next 2 weeks, yeah.
Our friend Patrick picked up a bottle in Amarillo.
Yeah. Okay, so we were the only ones in Amarillo to have it. We bought all the inventory that was available so that we would be the only ones in Amarillo to have it, and we've really, really killed it with that up there. And they're going to ship us some to Grimm, so we'll be in good shape there. Yeah. And right now, it's kind of a small part of the business, but an important part. We've kind of revamped our wine department in Grimm, brought in some things that we didn't have before.
Yeah.
Just freshened that up a little
bit. Which you already had an awesome wine selection.
We did already have an awesome wine selection. We recently brought one in called 8 Years in the Desert, and it's an Orange Swift red.
Okay.
And it was the guy who, you've heard of Prisoner wine before, I'm sure. Well, he sold Prisoner, and he signed an 8-year non-compete. And as soon as his non-compete was over, his first release was called 8 Years in the Desert. And it is very good. Runs about $50 a bottle. But we're just bringing in some new stuff like that. Lots of new ready-to-drink products, especially at the Grimm store. The Ocean Spray vodka drinks. They're cool. So it'll have like Ocean Spray Cran Pineapple, Ocean Spray Cran Grape with just vodka in a can. Like,
okay,
really good stuff.
That'll be good. It's getting to be the season to drink those.
Yeah, next week, well, tomorrow, as a matter of fact, we'll be getting Outlaw Beer at both locations. It's a light beer out of Colorado. Very good. Reasonably priced. I think it's going to be about $10 a 12-pack. So pretty good stuff. And lots of things. Don't give up on the groom store. Still come in there. They're still getting good stuff.
You can ask your daughter. We still go.
Yeah.
It slowed us down any. We just bitch a little bit whenever we make it there.
Well, my 11-year-old son, I recently found out, has been trying to pawn off my personal collection of allocated items.
Oh, no shit.
For a dirt bike. So there's a contingent of customers that have been kind of hammering him a little bit for, you know, what's it going to take for us to get this case that your dad has hidden away at home? And it pretty much comes down to a KTM dirt bike, and they hadn't said no, so we'll see.
One of these days, you're going to come back to an empty basement and a dirt bike in the garage.
Yeah, and I'll be a little bit mad and a little bit proud all at the same time.
I'm mostly impressed.
Yeah, like, wow. You know.
I think we could come up with a KTM dirt bike.
I bet we could.
I think I know a guy that's still got one. We could do some trading.
I bet we could.
Well, Ryan would be your guy to talk to.
Can I get his number?
just before you leave, you'd write it down real quick.
Just write down the number of the cocky ass 11-year-old willing to trade his dad's stuff for his own personal gain.
What I've seen you have at the store, you've got to have something good there at your house.
Oh my gosh, I've got great stuff at my house, and most of it came from before I had a store. So I have like a whole case of half gallons of Weller 12, which they discontinued. They haven't made them in a long time. Like,
right.
I think they hadn't made them in five or six years.
Wow.
I've got an entire case of those. I have William LaRue Weller from the Buffalo Trace Antique Collection. Pretty much have most of the bottles in the Buffalo Trace Antique Collection. Some Pappies. And then just, of course, I have every barrel pick we've ever done. And then a lot of times I collect other stores' barrel picks too, but I've got a pretty good selection. I could pay for a semester at college or two, you know.
Or buy a dirt bike.
Or buy a dirt bike, you know.
Well, sounds like we're fixing to get a dirt bike.
Yeah. Could be a dirt bike, but yeah, I've got quite a bit of you know, trash or treasure, depending on if you're me or my wife.
Wives get kind of funny about that kind of stuff.
They do, you know. They can have a lot of tchotchkes. You can't have a lot of tchotchkes.
I live that life.
You know, because your tchotchkes take up space that their tchotchkes could be taking up space of.
Yeah.
It's the closet debate, but all out in the open in the rest of the house. So
I have been told that I need to get rid of empty bottles that we have tried because my shelf is getting too cluttered. Granted, this is my
Yeah.
So, I understand.
Yep, it's one of them things that we all put up with and we all know why. So, you know.
It happens.
It's just part of being married.
I do
if
have.
If they aren't mad about that, they're going to be mad about something else.
Yeah, I do have a lot of stuff. She doesn't really draw a line between my personal collection and the inventory of both stores. So, anytime she really wants to, you know, win an argument, we just bring up the dollar amount sitting in Amarillo and in Groom and then in our kitchen, you know. And it's like, well, okay. Yeah, maybe you do need a new car.
I don't know. Maybe it's a conversation we should have.
We're going to split hairs. I mean, if apples are apples, whatever.
That means I get to keep these bottles. Then yes, we'll go buy you a new car.
Yeah, no. It's good. Amarillo store's doing great. Hopefully the next one is on the northeast side of Amarillo. That is kind of where the next one's going to be. And then we'll have another one on the south side of Amarillo in summer of 2025. So the north side of Amarillo store should be open by Christmas of this year. And then we'll have that other one open hopefully by July of 2025.
Awesome.
Yeah. Should be good. Should be good. I hope it's good anyway. We'll all know if it's not.
That's fact.
That is a fact.
Well, we hope it's good because you keep bringing awesome barrel picks like this to
us. Yeah, we're getting more. They told us a couple of weeks ago that we were probably going to get to do an Old Forester, and I'm excited about that.
Oh, yeah, that'll be a good one.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm just keeping my fingers crossed that they keep their word on it because I really want to do that one.
Yeah, Old Forester's another one that is just, I haven't had anything that Old Forester has made that isn't good.
Yeah, their stuff is all very good. I haven't had, what is it, the new one, 1924, the 10-year. We hadn't even had a bottle in the store, but they have a 10-year called 1924, I believe. And it is, I've heard mixed reviews on it. Like, it might be the first one that I've heard anything negative about. Like, I've kind of heard that if you get 1920, it's still better than the 1924.
Really?
The difference being the 1924 has a 10-year age statement on it. So, you know, I kind of think that they've reached a point where that doesn't matter as much anymore as it used to. You know, because they're doing things like aging product in barrels for like really, really long times in temperature controlled situations. It's not like necessarily left up to the weather anymore. Like they're taking it down to where it's either super cold or bringing it up to where it's really hot, you know, that kind of thing. So I don't know where it's going to go, but right now there's a lot of really good product out there in every price point that you can imagine.
Mm-hmm. I'd buy that. We've kind of proved that with our working man bourbon. You know, what we do, like under 30, 40 bucks, something like that?
Well, I mean, but even at the Old Forester, you know, we were over there before Christmas.
Oh, yeah. They had, what was it, the Statesman or something? Yeah, it's like 100 proof?
No, and then they had that like $25 bottle that was just Old Forester.
Yeah, just their regular and Old Forester. Yeah.
That cheap bottle was good.
Yeah, so the selections that have dates on them, like 1924, those are called the Whiskey Row selections.
Okay.
And then you have Statesman, and then you have the flagship Old Forester product, which is their regular Old Forester. I think they have it in 100 proof and 80 proof, or it could be 90 and 80. I'm not 100% sure. And then they have a rye in that same thing.
Okay.
I'm kind of excited. I don't know if I'm excited or not, but there's a product from Sazerac that I think we're going to bring in this week that is Old Taylor bourbon, and it is a value product. So it's going to be down by your Ancient Age and your Benchmark and stuff, but it's like the original E.H. Taylor product, the original label and all that
stuff. Oh, really?
That came out, yes. So that'll be an interesting one for us to see, and it should be right there in that price point that Ancient Age and Benchmark and all that stuff is.
Okay.
And pretty much same location on the shelf. I just want to see what the difference is. Like, you know, if it could be one of those great bourbons at a really, really cheap price that, you know, nobody grabs because it's on the bottom shelf.
Which, yeah,
I feel that way about Ancient Age. I think that's a very solid drinker for just grabbing it off the bottom shelf. And I think this one will be too, but we'll find out probably around Wednesday of this week how that's going to be.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, y'all come check it out.
But, you know, I get what you're saying about the cheap, because I drink probably more Evan Williams bottled and bond than I do anything.
Yeah, Evan Williams bottled and bond, Granddad bottled and bond. They're
super cheap and
really
good. I mean, especially like if you're just going to have a drink at the end of the day and not really pay attention, just turn on Ted Lasso, do your laundry, and drink some bourbon. Evan Williams, way to go.
It's not bad.
Evan is very good, and we recommend that one a lot. We sell through a lot of it, and I think it's good to have a quality product in every tier or multiple quality products in every tier, because not everybody wants to come in, and as much as we like this Angel Envy bottle, not everybody wants to spend $90.
Right.
It's a lot of damn money for a bottle of something that you may finish that night, you know, or you could drop it out in the parking lot and, you know, we're probably not going to give you another one if you do that. Like, <it's> just, you still have to buy another one, then you're in for 180, you know, it's like, it's nice to have some of that bottom shelf stuff that you could just drink, you know, not for an occasion, just because you want to.
Yeah, so, for sure.
Completely agree.
Glad we're all in concurrence here.
We are.
Well, we have to be. We got the hive mind going on this side. I don't know what your deal is.
just proof that it's a perfect fit for a sponsor.
Pretty much.
This was meant to be.
That or the hive mind is contagious. I don't know. I guess we'll find out. So what else has been going on?
That's about it. That's about it. That and shuffling kids to sporting events. And
sucks, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
It's the worst.
It is the worst. And you kind of feel like, okay, like, no wonder my parents were all, there was always a little bit of discontent, every time we had to go spend a weekend, watching us lose by 30,
I hear it's not any better when you're coaching.
Nope.
My son wants to do club basketball in Amarillo. And I don't know if y'all are familiar with it, but it's a special kind of hell for parents, especially. It's a 10 games a day, and that's an exaggeration. It's more like 2 to 3 games a day for, pretty much every weekend during the summer.
Forever. An eternity. In perpetuity.
Forever. And there's 100 teams, and 2 of them that are really good and beat everybody else by,
by blowout.
And I'm not real good with keeping it in after about 6 hours of watching it and losing all the time. I'm not very good at pretending like that it's all just for fun and games, because I didn't have any fun watching anybody lose.
Not any better when you're coaching.
I'm sure it's not. But yeah, that's.
I have learned to internalize my anger until I get home, and then just be by myself and just burn.
Well, the worst is when you think you have a free weekend and then it's like, oh no, there's a tournament, and you just don't care, but your kids care, so you gotta go.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the worst. That's that special kind of hell that I'm talking about.
No, it's
a damned if you do, damned if you don't type thing.
It's terrible.
It's horrible.
And you hate to be happy like that your kids don't want to do stuff. But there's a certain point, it's like, fuck yeah, I don't want to do that either. Fuck softball. Go do something fun.
Somebody was so excited that their daughter did not want to play softball.
That was a little bit different deal, because that was going to end up being in Pampa, and they were playing games like 4 nights a week. Plus, you figure practice, you're going to be driving 20 miles every fucking day.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
just.
Well, I feel bad anyway, because y'all know I had been on in over a year because I'm always gone, right? Yeah. So I maybe catch during school year 1 or 2 games a season. So right. I'm already a not so great dad, when it comes to sports. But my son, who's really the only one who puts me through this kind of thing, is the world's worst about, hey, I'm not going to do this year. And then you're like, I'm on board with that. Just this year, he said he wasn't going to play football. And then he comes home from school first day, and he's like, hey, I've got football practice tomorrow. This morning, we talked about not playing football. And he's like, yeah, I didn't want to play. But like, if I don't play, group, there's not very many kids. If I don't play, we may not even have a team. And I'm like, okay, go ahead and play. I ended up catching 3 games, which was good. It's fun to watch. And then he loves basketball, so he's going to play that all he can. Then he kind of bowed up and said he wasn't going to do track, which I was ecstatic about, because track meets are even worse.
Oh, they're so much worse.
They're even worse. And then next thing I know, it's like, hey, Dad, we got the LaForce track meet next weekend. And I was like, ha-ha. And he's like, no, really, I'm throwing shot put and discus. And I was like, I kind of really wanted to bash his head in with a bat, but we went and watched,
So he's got no quit in him, is what you're saying.
He has no, well, no.
He talks about it, but he just can't carry through.
No conviction is what he's got. He's spineless. All it takes is one of his coaches or one of his friends to be like, come on, man. And he's like, yeah, I'm playing.
Oh, yeah, whatever. Fuck it, we're in.
As long as I'm wanted, I'll be there.
He is going to be so much fun at parties. Just the smallest amount of peer pressure. Yeah. Hey, you want to drink this beer? Not really. It'll be fun.
Okay.
He said to, my wife and I were in Amarillo, and we needed to run an errand. And, it was a Friday night, and it was, 7 o'clock at night, and we were at the liquor store in Amarillo. and it was something that we knew he didn't want to go do. And our employees were like, hey, well, why don't you just hang out with us? And he says, I can't. I got a game tomorrow. And they're like, what do you think we're going to go do? you're 11. And it's Friday night. What exactly have you got going on? It was pretty funny. I mean, these are all these guys are in their mid to late 20s, and they're just like, hey, just go hang out with us. Yeah, I can't. Got a game. All right, you know, whatever.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm interested. I'm not really interested. I've already tried to put the fear of God into him that, you know, you are 11. That's one thing. But when you're 16 and mom and dad own a liquor store, there better not be any, you know, unsavory things going on or peer pressure, which, you know, there will be, because it would have been for me. It would have been for any of us. You know, it's just like,
all of a sudden he's not going to need that dirt bike. So
we started early with putting the fear of God into him, and he acts like he has no interest in ever doing anything like that at all. But that every time he says, I'm never going to drink, I'm not interested in that, I think about the fact that he said yesterday he wasn't interested in track, and he's now throwing shot put. So
that's going to last a long time. Yeah. Yeah. And so that's when the lock gets changed like weekly at the liquor store. Yeah.
When we no longer have access to any of the locks, that's happening sooner than he thinks, I think.
Yeah, that's when the doorbell, yeah. What is it? The
ring camera?
Yeah, the ring camera gets put on the liquor store.
Yeah. Yep, exactly.
Just go home, dumbass. Yeah.
The hell are you doing? You. Yeah, I had to explain to him this is a livelihood issue, not a, you know, not necessarily me being a hard ass. This would be one to keep my business, so there is not going to be any.
Oh, Dad, I don't want us all to starve.
Dad, you don't have to worry about that. I don't have any interest in drinking. That all tastes like crap.
I can't wait for the ring doorbell whenever there's just a guy with a mask. It's like, all right, dumbass. So do you want me to call the cops real quick, or do you just want to come back home? The mask is not doing what you think it's doing.
I saw you leave the house in that shirt.
I have a friend, he went to Florida, and while he's sitting on the beach in Florida, his ring camera goes off with his 19-year-old son was at home, and he's like, I don't know why. He's like, I'm like a security expert. I don't know why my son doesn't think there's cameras all through our house, you know. But he calls his son, he's like, what are you doing? It's like, oh, nothing, just hanging out at the house. And he's like, hanging out at the house doing what? I don't know, watching a little bit of TV. He's like, well, in what room? Well, I'm just up in my bedroom watching TV. And he said, I'm watching you. You're standing on the island in the kitchen taking shots of Tito's vodka, and there's 30 people in the kitchen with you. And he's like, what? How'd you know that? He's like,
no denial. What?
What? How'd you know that? He's like, there's a camera in the kitchen. Well, why the hell would there be a camera in the kitchen? You're sick, Dad. You know? He's like, no, I'm not. You're just an idiot.
This is why there's a camera in the kitchen.
You're just dumb. Get the hell out. I said, did you leave Florida? And he's like, hell no, I'm not leaving Florida for, you know, catching my teenage son drinking. He's like, I assumed he was doing it. I just thought he was smarter about where to do it at.
Standing on the island with 30 people.
you're standing on the island. And you can see him. It's funny because he showed me the video, and he's like telling me, and this is when I say this. And his son's like, what? He's like looking around. Oh, man.
It's kind of like in the ranch. It's like, oh, somebody tell Berto that is not a blind spot.
Yep. I think that's what we got to look forward to for the most part the next 5 years. Yeah. So, not looking
That's going to be fun.
It will be. It'll be something to talk about for sure. You know, long as he just, you know, he keeps it at the misdemeanor level, we'll all
Isn't that what every parent wants? Just misdemeanor or below.
Anything we can plead down, let's keep it there.
Damn.
Y'all got anything going on new since I hadn't talked to y'all in forever?
Bought a new bull. Picked that up today.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's fun. Drove all the way to
Ulysses, Kansas.
Yep.
Beautiful drive. Just beautiful on a Sunday morning.
And then turn around and drive right back.
Yep.
Well, we stopped at Subway.
Oh, well, you know.
You know.
Exciting things happening.
Yeah, the culinary treat of the prairie.
Yeah.
Subway.
No doubt. Hadn't been to a Subway since yesterday.
You know, you've been to one, you've been to all of them.
Did y'all get the footlong cookie?
No.
Did not, no.
I didn't even get the footlong churro.
I heard the footlong cookie is the jam. Like, they should just start selling that and stop selling everything else is what I heard.
Really?
But, you know, I used to run a Subway. I hadn't been to Subway in, like, 12 years because I used to handle one of those. So.
But it's all new now because they slice everything in-house.
Oh, gosh.
It sounds revolutionary.
Wonderful. Like, no, I'm good. Make a sandwich at home.
That's fair.
Make a sandwich at home.
Yeah, that's like my daughter's birthday because, you know, we couldn't have her birthday party on her birthday because she had a basketball tournament or some stupid shit. It was going to be like 3 weeks later. So I asked her, I was like, well, what do you want for supper? And we'll get like, you know, grandparents, stuff like that. And we'll do something. She's like, can we have Subway?
Like, oh, God.
I mean, yeah, but no.
Like, you're not in trouble. It's for your birthday.
What if I just like had a sandwich bar set up? Oh, I bet that'd be even better than Subway. I'm like, God, I fucking hope so.
That's funny.
And it was, but.
But yeah, you know.
That is her favorite. If we're going out to eat in Pampa, it's like, let's go to Subway.
Well, you know, every Subway smells the same, right?
It does, yeah.
And if I smell that smell, I immediately get queasy, and I'm just like, I can't. I've lost all appetite, so I cannot.
So is it all sandwich shops or just Subway?
Just Subway.
Just Subway.
So like Jersey Mike's, you're good.
I like Jersey Mike's. Okay. I hadn't had a Jersey Mike's in a few years, but I like Jersey Mike's.
Okay.
But you know, they've kind of gotten to the point where you go in and you buy a submarine sandwich full of cold cuts, and it's like the same price as a petite sirloin at, you know,
it's Outback. Getting expensive.
You're not wrong. You know? Like, it was $30 for us to eat at Subway today.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So
fucking why? It was two sandwiches, two chips, and two drinks.
But it was that or Casey's Pizza.
Oh, that was, you made the right call. You definitely made the right call.
I don't know if you've been to Ulysses in a while, but they don't have much going on.
I have not been.
Did they have a Casey's in Ulysses, or would we have had to gone back to Hugoton for that? We
might have had to gone back to Hugoton.
Casey's is like one of the largest pizza chains in the country.
Yeah.
You know? Ugh. Brutal, but
I don't mind it. It's not good. They're breakfast pizzas.
Yeah.
I don't know that I've ever had a Casey's pizza.
Well, we should have gone to Casey's pizza.
Nah, I was good. I've heard enough about it. I was fine with just eating Subway.
Okay.
You know, it's fine. Just like stick with the beef products at Subway. And
the beef products.
Beef products at Subway are ham. Well, not even the ham, because like the ham on the cold cut combo is actually every meat on the cold cut combo is actually made out of turkey. Even if it says, you know, it's ham or whatever.
Oh, shit.
The cold cut, yeah, because that's why the cold cut combo is so cheap, is because it's all made out of turkey.
Huh.
Every ham, every cold cut on
the whole little packet that they cut in half and put on your sandwich
is made out of turkey. Yeah.
Okay.
So, I did the cold cut combo.
I normally go BMT.
I don't like the chicken. The chicken's a little sketchy, you know.
That new Italiano or whatever it is that.
I don't mind like the cured meats like pepperoni and salami and stuff like that.
No.
Because it's like that stuff's probably fine.
I mean, they even have capicola now.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice. The gabagool.
And it looks like shit, but.
Yeah.
It tastes fine.
It's okay.
You get enough other stuff on it. It tastes
good. It does look a little membraney, but it is pretty good.
Like, I like capicola as a whole.
I do too.
I have not ventured off into Subway capicola yet.
So yeah.
No.
Not a bad sandwich.
The fresh mozz that they have is pretty solid, though.
And it's an East Coast, having gone to Subway University, and I shit you.
Did you get to meet Jared?
I shit you. No. Let's not even open that can of worms. No. Luckily, I was done with that whole thing before all that stuff came out, because it was already a pain in the ass being named Jared and running the No, but I did Subway University in Milford, Connecticut for 2 weeks.
So he is a master of the sandwich arts, and we did not even know that.
Yeah, okay, so here's the deal, is the guys who actually owned the Subway had no intention of ever working in the Subway, right? So yeah. I was not a partner. I wasn't a partner in that business at all, but I went to franchisee school as a franchisee because neither one of them were going to do it. So I had the education of the ownership, but I had no stake in the business at all. But that's also how I got in the liquor business, is the same guys wanted to open a liquor store next door, and it was a dry town, so we had to go through that whole rigmarole of getting it to go wet. And that was how I got in the liquor business in the first place. Was, hell, that's been 12 years ago.
And here you hate Subway.
I hate Subway so much.
I'm just saying, if you ever meet my daughter, she's going to think you are the coolest person ever. Because my sister worked at Subway in Pampa, like a summer or something like that, whenever she was like 16.
Yeah.
And so whenever we figured out we were doing Subway sandwich spread, I was like, we're even going to have a sandwich artist. Genuine sandwich artist. Like, who? Andy Fred used to work at Subway. No kidding.
I went.
Whenever she figures out you went to university.
I went to Sandwich University, and it was a very intense 2 weeks. You had to be, the first week was all classroom instruction. And then the following week, me and one of the owners worked at a Subway in Darien, Connecticut for a man who had immigrated over from, I'm not sure. His name was Nadim Rana, and he owned a Subway in Darien, Connecticut, one of the most expensive towns you can live in the country.
Okay.
And me and this friend of mine that had opened that place worked in his Subway for a solid week and listened to everything that, you know, he taught us how to do everything there. We're wearing cowboy boots working in Subway. Which just drove him crazy because that was kind of like all we took when we went.
Didn't know how to pack for Sandwich University.
No. So it was kind of crazy, you know. You went and you learned how to make all the sandwiches, of course, and how their system of doing things worked. And then it was just a whole bunch of math. It was all about productivity and scheduling and buying product. Incidentally, everything you buy has to be bought from Subway, so they get all the money from you buying your supplies, and then they get a percentage of those sales from those supplies every week too. So
okay.
Yeah, so
they're taking on both ends.
They're taking, and they also take a weekly advertising fee from you well. So there's a lot of percentages going out the door.
It's really turning into that McDonald's.
Yeah. Like they take,
oh yeah.
What was that documentary called?
The Ray Kroc story?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I can't remember what it...
I'm trying to remember.
Y'all know what I'm talking about.
Yes, we do. Interestingly,
the founder.
The founder. Yeah, it was a lot like that. So they take a little bit of everything. But like say you wanted to donate 100 chocolate chip cookies to your kid's school. You donate 100 chocolate chip cookies. So you bought the cookies in the first place. You paid for the labor to bake all the cookies. You packed up all the cookies. And then you didn't charge yourself for the cookies. And you didn't notify Subway. They come into your store and they do these monthly audits of your inventory. They'd go, hey, there's 100 cookies that are missing here that we know you bought. But there's no sale for these 100 cookies. And you're like, oh, I gave them to my kid's school. And they'll be like, well, I mean, we want the money for those cookies, or... You know, you'll receive these demerits for your inventory being off so much. And after a certain point, you receive enough demerits and they can take your franchise away from you.
Really?
Yes, they can. So they can't take your equipment. They can't take your building. They can take your ability to operate as Subway away from you. You know, so it's very interesting. I got in trouble a couple of times because I always tried to think outside of Subway. So I would go to like gas station chains at the time and be like, what if we made a bunch of Subway salads and then you sold Subway salads in your gas station and you bought them from us. Well, there was one chain, large chain, you'd know exactly who they were locally, and they were like, hell yeah, let's do that. And then Subway got wind of it and totally shut it down, even though it was a big time thing that we could have made a lot of money.
Really?
On. Yes. Yes. So it's a tough thing being a franchisee.
It sounds like it.
I would not do that again.
It makes me happy I didn't get that Genghis Khan one. Or Genghis Grill.
Yeah.
May have been better with them.
It probably wouldn't have been.
There's a lot of... At the time, Subway was still just owned by the two guys who started Subway. You know, and like they just kept it... Like the company was actually called Doctors Associates because... So it wasn't called Subway. So all your checks and stuff went to Doctors Associates because the man who started Subway was this guy named Pete DeLuca or Fred DeLuca. And then it was, I can't remember what his buddy's name was, but his buddy's name was Pete. So the first Subway was Pete's Submarines. What happened was Pete was a doctor and Fred went to Pete and asked for money to start Subway so that he could pay for college. They borrowed like $1,250 from him and started Subway as Pete Subs. Well, Pete was a doctor. Fred was his associate. So they called their company Doctors Associates.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. And Fred, I think, died a few years ago. And Peter Buck is his name. I think he's not really involved anymore. I think Subway is being sold to VCs, like just a finance firm that's going to do whatever they want with it. So before it was privately held and... They did whatever.
Kind of like
want.
Whataburger.
Yeah.
Really is, man. They have bastardized the hell out of Whataburger.
They have.
Place has gone to shit.
It has. It has. I think it was a company in Chicago that owns it.
It
now?
Is. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. That's unfortunate. That is really unfortunate.
It really has not been great for their quality.
No, and it sucks because they've opened up all these new Whataburgers and everybody's like, y'all Texans are fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Like, Whataburger sucks. I'm like, yeah, I know it does now. Fucking Yankees.
Yeah, it didn't suck. You know,
it used to be really good.
10 years ago, it was really, really good.
Yeah. You
know? Yeah.
Like, and it always had, like, odd items. Like, it'd have, you know, the fajita and all that kind of stuff. Like thing. But now, they've got, what, 10 or 20 these weird things that probably take a lot of time to make or are already pre-made when they get there, and they're just not good.
Yeah.
You know? Buffalo wings and all that kind
of
stuff.
Well,
like, and
it's like, just the quality of, like, their hamburgers. Yeah. Like, their bread's not near as fresh. It's always... I don't want to say stale, but it's always super dry and just shitty. The hamburger's not as good as it used to be. The vegetables are never as fresh because used to, you know, that was the great part. You get that good onion and lettuce and tomato on
there. Oh, yeah.
That onion was the strongest onion on the
planet. So fucking good.
You're right about the buns, though. They're always like real chewy around the edges.
Yeah, and like you grab it and your finger, you can put molds into it.
Yeah,
and
it's
just rough. Not what you want.
No.
I still go, but still I don't enjoy it.
It still takes... you still have to, you know, pencil in an hour to wait in the drive.
No
oh, yeah, no, that didn't change. They did not change the wait time.
That didn't change. And the burger, I guess, is still the same size. But, you know, and then this whole thing about, well, how many ketchups do you really need? As many as I want.
Yeah, just... That is one that they do still have really good spicy ketchup.
They do still have great ketchup, but... You know, the ketchup, the taquitos.
Yeah.
I can't really think of anything that's really great there anymore, but.
I mean, the breakfast on a bun's still solid, but the bun's kind of, it's not exactly the same issue as with the hamburgers,
but it's close.
I think I only eat there anymore just for the nostalgia of it.
That's the deal. Actually, what I end up doing is because, you know, they build their drive-thrus to where once you're in, you're committed.
Yeah, you are.
Like, you are not going to get back out. Even, like, if you're in line, you're done. You are there. And so, like, you're leaving Amarillo, it's like, if I got to swing through Whataburger and get something to eat.
Yeah.
Fuck. This place sucks.
I mean, it is still better than McDonald's at the end of the day.
Yeah, the quality.
Yeah.
But it is headed towards that direction.
It definitely
is. It's working
at
it real hard.
Yeah. I think the whole point was it to be, like, the In-N-Out of Texas. And it's like In-N-Out has, like, 8 items on their menu. You guys have 100. And you're not doing it the same way.
Yeah.
You know? They really mess that up.
The water catch is still good though. Yeah. They have good fish.
I don't do any fish at any fast food restaurant.
You know, Lent Catholic.
Well, my whole family's Catholic except for me. I'm a Baptist, but even they are more like, If we're going to go fast seafood, and it's not even really fast, we love Scott's Oyster Bar.
Man, you're not wrong there.
Scott's is awesome.
So it is like, there's like two or three places in town like that you feel really satisfied when you leave. Like you're like happy that you went there and you had a good meal. And Scott's is one of those two or three places. The rest of them, it's just like you're doing it because it's 7 o'clock at night. You're supposed to eat something. You're probably not even really that hungry. Every place costs $70 to feed my family, regardless of where it's at.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah. Everything's fucking expensive. You know, my mom was bitching the other night because we went to 575. I'm like, it was still good pizza. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. 575 is great pizza.
It is. It's one of the better pizzas.
You can go to Pizza Hut. You can go to 575. It's going to cost you the same amount.
So
pretty damn close for
in
sure.
In terms of booze and pizza, do you on Olson and Western, it was La Bella Pizza there for forever.
Oh, now it's
Big Jim's.
Hadn't been in there.
Big Jim's has an awesome bourbon selection.
Really?
They have a great bourbon selection. They do like New York style pizza and stuff, and it's very good. It's not the same pizza from when it was La Bella Pizza. They still have all those, you know, you still have a bunch of items that are not pizza that you can order, but the pizza is awesome, and their bourbon selection is probably top three in town.
Okay.
Okay.
Very cool.
Huh.
We've talked about going in there. We just
never have.
I've heard good things.
Yeah, so you walk in, and it looks like there's really no place for you to go, but there's like a bar off to the left, and it's got all kinds of good stuff in there. A place for you to sit down and eat and all that stuff. So,
okay.
I'd definitely check it out if I were y'all. Since I'm, you know, plugging other businesses that don't necessarily even know we exist.
Yeah. But, you know. They don't know we exist either. That's fine. We're just going to keep rolling this free advertisement.
That's our jam.
This is going to be the guide to eating in Amarillo right here.
Yeah. There you go. Scott's Oyster Bar, Big Jim's Pizza. Oh.
You got anything else?
I don't think I do.
I'm good.
We've been at this over an hour. So
let's do some trivia. The Guinness Pub Quiz.
I wish your cleaning ladies learned to leave my shit stacked how I like it.
Oh, God. I suck at beer trivia.
This isn't beer trivia.
Oh, it's not?
No.
This is just trivia.
We ran out of beer trivia.
We ran out of whiskey trivia. And gin trivia.
So now we're just doing the pub quiz. It's really more about like Guinness World Record type stuff than.
Are you still
and fun facts.
Still drinking gin from time to time?
Mm-hmm.
Have you had Noletz gin? Noletz green bottle?
No, I don't think so. Top. Is it pretty good?
It's pretty good. It's a top shelf product. Got it on sale at the one in Amarillo for like $20. But usually it's like $45.
Okay.
Yeah. Might check it out.
I do more gin drinking like spring and summer.
Yeah. Yeah, it's coming up. It's approaching.
Yeah. I think I've still got a little bit of Empress left. And I might have saved a shot of my Monkey 47. I need to go get some more of that.
Monkey 47 is awesome.
Probably one of my favorite gins.
We got 13th Colony gin in. It's supposed to be pretty good.
Okay.
Have you had any of the 13th Colony bourbons?
Yeah. Ross gave me a bottle for Christmas.
Yeah. They're good stuff.
Oh, that is. Yeah, I gave it to you for Christmas.
I don't think we tried it on here.
No, we didn't, but we tried it.
It was good. It didn't last long.
No. It's good stuff.
Yeah. Okay, so you've got five categories. We've got starts with G, games people play since 1759, anything flows, and popular culture.
Popular culture.
List the names of the three Brady Bunch boys from youngest to oldest.
I don't know. Is Bobby the youngest?
Yes.
And Greg's the oldest.
Correct.
What's the one in the middle's name?
Nobody ever remembers the one in the middle.
Uh-uh.
Do they, Royce?
I had forgotten about the other two as well. So I mean,
I don't know. I give up.
It's Peter. Bobby, Peter, and Greg.
Oh, okay. Huh. All right. Your categories are starts with G, games people play, since 1759, anything flows, and popular culture.
Since 1759.
Was Douglas MacArthur a famous politician, actor, or general? Man, that's easy.
Politician.
Wrong. General.
Oh, God. Yeah, that was a dumb one.
Really whipped that deal, man.
You're clearly not from the Philippines.
No, I was thinking of the politician that ran against Lincoln. Can't even think of his name. Douglas something.
Yeah, I don't remember that one either. Did he have white hair that came out to like right here?
Yeah.
Yeah. Douglas. Yeah.
Adam? No, not Adams.
It's not Frederick Douglass.
Yes.
It is Frederick Douglass.
Yes, that's
it. Is it Frederick Douglass?
I think so.
All right, Tyler. Starts with...
Hang on.
Oh.
We are finding this out. I thought Aaron Burr was who ran against... That was earlier. Aaron Burr was earlier in like George Washington's time frame, I think.
Yeah, because he had a... Isn't he who had the shootout with Hamilton?
Yes. Yes, he killed Alexander Hamilton.
Yeah.
Stephen Douglas.
Stephen Douglas.
Ah.
Yes.
All right, Tyler. Starts with G. Games people play. Since 1759, anything flows and popular culture.
Still a little confused by this category, so I'm going to go with anything flows.
Which duo scored a hit with I Got You, Babe? It's easy.
Sonny and Cher.
Yeah.
I like how it's so easy, but you had to look at the back of the fucking card.
Well, after I whiffed that one, I had to double check.
Don't trust myself anymore.
Tyler won.
He did. Good job, bud.
I've put that on my resume. Guinness Pub Quiz champion.
Of the free advertising version of the F-Tup Farming Podcast. Just call this one free ads. Shameless plug.
I really liked Guide to Emerald Eats.
It's not bad. I like it.
Yeah. Well, Jared, thanks for coming.
Yeah, thanks for having me again.
Thanks for your continued support.
Yeah, you bet. Anytime.
Anytime you're in town and we can nail you down, we'll have you up here.
Okay, fantastic. Cool. I'll be back. Thanks, guys. Glad y'all enjoyed the pick.
I had another great one. Y'all go pick it up.
Both locations.
Both locations.
Yep. So, all right. Everybody have a good week.
All right. Thanks.
See y'all.